Well, thank you, Brother David, and God bless you. Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. We got a bright, sunshiny day. Praise God. It looks good out there, too. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I thank you so much for this good, fine weather. And I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Father, for leading us, showing us what it does, what it looks like to be like Jesus. And Lord, I just ask that you anoint us today to give out the word that you want us to give, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you make it a blessing to everybody out there that listens. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah, that's what I want to do. You know, there's a lot of parallels in the Bible about our being born again. And there's a lot of people that don't know that they're parallels, you know. Sanctification is the same thing as coming into the manifestation of the Son of God. We're here to come in to His image. He told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, he said, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit." It says, from glory to glory, we come into the image of Jesus Christ. So we have to look in the Bible to see what Jesus looks like. That's what he wants. Anyone who sells you short on that and don't motivate you to bear the fruit of Christ 30, 60, and 100 fold is not doing you any good. You're going to miss the high calling of God in Christ Jesus if you listen to him. Now let's start out here in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. And we have, now he's talking about Christians here, got a born-again spirit, okay? And we have the word of prophecy made more sure. Well, you know about prophecy. Paul said that we prophesy in part because prophecy can grow with the measure of your faith according to what the word tells us. And you may prophesy in part more than you end up doing the whole prophecy. As you grow and mature more and more in Christ, you prophesy more and more in the Lord. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and that's the scriptures. The scripture is all a prophecy. Even the education of it is a prophecy of the end times and a prophecy of God's people coming into his image. And continuing on there, it says, "Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed." Well, that's unto God's word. "As unto a lamp shining in a dark place." Well, what's the lamp? Well, that's the word of God, is the light. It says in Proverbs 20 and 27, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. What is this dark place? Well, it's just that. It's the soul. It is the mind, the will, and emotions that need to be converted the same way your spirit was. And as we follow our spirit, following the Holy Spirit, we come into this conversion, okay, 30, 60, and 100 fold. That's this glory to glory, star glory, moon glory, and sun glory that Paul said is a body that he gives to those that are then heavenly, having a born-again body, a lamp shining in a dark place. That's the dark places of your soul, folks. We all know about the darkness in the mind, the will, and the emotions. We deal with it. But we're motivated more highly to do that because we're coming into his image, and it's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, right? And continuing on, "until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." Well, dawning is talking about the sun, the day star. That's our star that shines during the day to us, is talking about the sun. It's a parable because it speaks of the sun, Jesus Christ. Because he is the light. He is the word that shines into our soul, that dispels all of the darkness in us. Glory be to God. That perfect day is when the sun is straight up over us, right? There's no shadows anywhere around us because it's straight up over top of us. Now, we're told in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13 and 4 and 17 through 18, it says, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Well, we know that the bread and the wine of Jesus Christ is not this, but there is a fake body and a fake blood of Jesus Christ out there. And they proclaim that what they're feeding, that's what they are feeding all of us. But unless we eat his body, that's the bread, and drink his blood, we have no life in us, the word says. Verse 18, but the path of the righteous, there is a path of the righteous. You can't stand still and expect to be bearing fruit, okay? Is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Well, a perfect day, of course, like I said before, is the sun straight up and there's no shadows. The darkness has been dispelled and the shadows are gone. Folks, that's maturity. You're all light. Your soul is filled with the light of God. Everywhere light goes, by the way, it destroys the darkness. And if you're not going to put the light in your heart and in your soul, it's not going to dissipate the darkness. Okay? So that's what we're called to do, friends. And that's what this verse is talking about. He's showing you that this is very clearly a process of coming into the image of Jesus Christ, being born again in body, soul, and spirit. That's the truth. Your whole being has to be born from above. And if you are born again in soul here, it's coming into the image of Jesus Christ, even when he was in his physical body, which we've already talked about. It's in your physical body that the manifestation of Christ is coming, in your spirit and soul. That's not in the body. Body is a reward for those who have been sanctified in the soul. And it's according to whatever that state is, 36 or 100-fold. And that's what determines the body that you get, which Paul spoke about. The three heavenly bodies that the saints will have is the star glory, the moon glory, and the sun glory. And there's a greater reward. That body has more power. It has more gifts. It has more ability, more holiness and righteousness, and on and on and on. That's just the beginning. And that's the process we call sanctification. And sanctification is the changing of you from fleshly to spiritual. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 22 says, abstain from every form of evil. How come? Well, because verse 23 says, and the God of peace himself sanctify you wholly. Sanctification is your abstaining from these things, in your putting to death the flesh, in your fulfilling of baptism in death to the old man and resurrection of that new man, the spirit man. The water is the word of God, and that's the washing of the water with the word. It's the water that puts to death your old man. Just like the light puts to death the darkness, the God of peace is going to sanctify you wholly or completely. I'm sure, can y'all just imagine in your mind that God is able to do that? Because that's his plan. The truth is, he's already gave you this life. He already nailed your sins on that cross. And are you going to accept the fullness of this, or are you going to run after the world? That's the question we need to ask, right? To some, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus is a prize. It's a prize worth running after, though, like that Shulamite in the Song of Solomon. And in verse 23, it says, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved entire. Now, reckon why he says that. Well, preserved entire is something that doesn't happen to a person that falls into degeneration. Are there people that fall away after coming to the Lord? Well, of course he is. He says twice dead and plucked up by the roots in Jude 1 and 12. You can't be twice dead unless you're twice born. They're born again, then they die again. And that process is totally conquered when your soul is changed. So now you know your soul is changed in some things, and those things don't tempt you anymore or test you anymore. You've overcome that area, and the blood has washed you there. The Word of God has dispelled the darkness in that area. Well, what about that other spot and that one over there? What about all of these? Well, you're not ever to sit down and not run the race. We got to work on that every day, folks. The Bible says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling in Philippians 2 and 12. Because salvation is a process. It's not an instantaneous stepping over the line, get your ticket punched kind of salvation that the dead churches preach. They're dead because they believe that, and they believe that's all that's ever going to get is what they get at salvation. You know, they're dead because of that. But I'm going to tell you something. This is going to motivate you. This Word of God will motivate you to run after Jesus. Continuing on, he says, without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, we found that we'll be ashamed before him if he hasn't shown forth from us. That's the light coming forth out of us. If you put it in, it's going to come out. Faithful is he that calls you, who will also do it. So here, once again, he's talking to Christian here. There's something for Christians to do. They don't just need to come in, plop down on a pew, waiting on the Lord to come and to fly away. Obviously, if the Lord came right now, there's a lot of people wouldn't go because they're not sanctified. They're not walking by faith, and they don't even know what faith is. So you need to get into the Word, and you need to have your mind renewed by the Word of God. And it's awesome, folks. And it puts hope in you, and it motivates you to walk that walk he wants you to walk. Now let's look at Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. So then, brethren, okay, brethren, he's talking to God's people here. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. A lot of God's people are living after the flesh, aren't they? Anything that motivates their flesh, they run after. They're so distracted that they can't hear the voice of the Spirit. And that's a terrible mistake, because as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, Romans 8 and 14 says. So if you keep following after flesh, you ain't going to make it. Because he says, and he says it to the brethren, okay? Verse 13, for if you live after the flesh, ye must die. So go ahead and follow your lower nature and you're going to die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. That's not your power, remember. It's God's power. We buffet our body and bring it into bondage, just like Paul said. Don't let that body rule you. Don't let it tell you what you're going to do in the next moment. It'll probably tell you to go ahead and feed your flesh. That's what it does. That's its job, is to tell you that. What is fasting, by the way? It's denying your flesh to be fed. Now, that's not only physical food. It's spiritual food, too, denying to give your flesh what it wants. You buffet it. You say, no, I'm ruling over you, flesh. You ain't ruling over me now. I'm going to be free this next moment to follow the Holy Spirit. And that's the way you do it. You do it moment by moment. Okay? Verse 14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Praise the Lord. So it's this process of learning how to be led by the Spirit of God and not to be distracted by our old flesh. Verse 15, for ye received not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but ye received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Yeah, you can call him Father. He said we would call him my Father. This is a relationship, folks. And it ain't all of those Old Testament names where they were under the law. He's got something better. He's got a good relationship, a father-child relationship, and a father-son relationship. Those are two different things. You receive a spirit of adoption. What does that do? Well, it's to bring us to the Lord, bring us to the adoption. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Verse 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, suffer what? Well, the death of the flesh, the denying of the flesh is what he's talking about. That we may be also glorified with him. What is the glorification? Remember 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 18. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Because that's the gift that God's been given to us. That's who we are now. The old man died in those waters of baptism, and the one that came up was the Son of God. And if you're glorified with him, that's the 36th or 100-fold. It's also the star, moon, and sun glory that we ultimately arrive at if we're going down that path, okay? It's sonship. It's sanctification. It's every one of these things. Now, he said in verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. And if you'll notice that the revealing is the manifestation, okay? That's the shining forth from us. And verse 19, for the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Now, what is the natural creation? Well, it's this life that you have, that you live in, that your spirit man is growing in. The earnest expectation of this creation is waiting for the revealing or the manifesting of the sons of God, the shining forth from the sons of God. Verse 20, for the creation was subjected to vanity, not of its own will, but by reason of him who subjected it in hope, that the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the liberty of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only so, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. That's when you receive the Holy Spirit and your spirit, okay? Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for our adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. Now notice that the full adoption is spirit, then soul, then body. The body is that reward for manifesting Christ in your soul, okay, at the end. Verse 24, for in hope were we saved. What is hope? It's the firm expectation of something that you don't yet see. You know what saved is? It's Jesus Christ. You look at him in the mirror. That's the one that's saved. What you're saying is, I'm saved. And you're saying it by faith. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. You're believing for the whole thing right up front. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. But hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for that which he sees? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we're waiting for this adoption. We're waiting for the adoption of our soul, for the manifestation of our soul. And the whole creation waiting for that to happen. Because it's going to deliver from bondage this groaning creation. Not only us, but all those around us and the physical creation around that. That's what the manifestation of the sons of God is all about. Now let's go over to Galatians 3 and 4. Let's see what the difference is between a child and a son. How many of you know we are children of God? and it has yet manifested what we shall be. But we know that we're going to be like him, like Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's the manifestation of sonship. All right, let's start in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26. It says, "For ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." So it is through faith in Christ Jesus. We have faith that he took away our sins and gave us his life. He made an exchange, which is the word that comes from the Greek word katalasso. It is an exchange between Christ and us. He gave us his life. He took away our life and nailed it to the cross. So when we got faith in him, he'll empower us by his spirit to put to death that old man of the land. The old man that they had to conquer before they took the promised land. And we're that land. The Canaanites are the old man of the flesh, y'all. Their gods, their lords are the demons that rule over them. Now, verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." When you got baptized, you're to believe from then on that you're now walking in the body of Christ, okay? There ain't no sin in Christ, is it? And by the way, so you know that there are parts in you. Manifestly, they have not come into Christ, but the process is to bring you, all of you, into Christ. All in all, he said. Verse 28. "There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for ye all are one man in Christ Jesus." They said one in Christ Jesus, right? And then verse 29. "And if you are Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, heirs according to promise." Heirs to the promise. He didn't say that you had already inherited yet. He said you are heirs of the promise. Now that it has been given, it's a matter of us reaching out there and taking it, right? That word for son, like in verse 26, is huios. And the word for child is technon. That's the most commonly used. And they ought not to be interchanged, because in every text it means exactly what it says. The huios emphasizes a special relationship to God. But the word technon only emphasizes a birth, okay? You might have been born from somebody, but if you don't follow in their steps, you're not going to have that special relationship. And listen, we don't want to follow in the steps of our natural parents, do we? As good as they may have been, they're not as good as God, are they? And of course, everybody, when they're perfected, is going to be just like their master. That's what Jesus said. So we want to make our master Jesus Christ, right? We're not to follow our natural earthly parents or any other man as far as that goes. We have to make Jesus our goal. He's our prize, as the high calling says. So you're Abraham's seed. Now, Abraham had a lot of seed, but he had two in particular that are parables for us. And y'all know them. It's Ishmael and Isaac. So you can say, "Hey, I'm Abraham's seed." Yeah, you might be. That doesn't mean you're going to inherit the kingdom. So let me tell you about that. Galatians 4 and 1. "But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, though he is Lord of all." Well, how can he be a bondservant and yet be the Lord of all? Well, because there's a difference between manifestation and faith. By faith, we've been given it all. We're joint heirs with Christ by faith. And by faith, we're in the body of Christ. But we know there's no sin in the body of Christ, so there's a part of us that we have to accept by faith that is saved and delivered. Okay? As long as the heir is the child, he differs nothing from a bondservant, although he's Lord of all. So notice that the child is a bondservant. Now, the Lord is following a parable here, Proverbs 29:21. He that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. Now think about that. He that delicately brings up his servant from a child shall have him become a son at the last. And if you'll notice that it's at the last, which is the manifestation of sonship, okay? This is why you've been sown in the earth in the first place, as to become a son of God. He was the firstborn among many brethren and bringing many sons to glory. That's God's plan. Verse 2. But it is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the Father. And it's true. Lots of God's people are in playpens, okay? They need to grow up, climb out of the bars, and get out of there. Like Jesus said when he went into the sheepfold, he freed them so they could go in and go out and find pasture. And that's the truth. We're free. We don't belong to any kind of a denomination. If you do, you're wrong. Did you know that all the denominations in Jesus' day were wrong? Every one of them were wrong. He didn't choose a single one of them. They were all reprobate. They were people that were coming out of them, which he called the church, the called out one. And it's the same today. There are people that are coming out. And if you're going to grow up, you can't stay in the playpen, folks. It's that simple. You can't stay on the milk either. But milk is more than what some people get in the playpen. Verse 3 says, so we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world. Now that word rudiment is the word stoichelon, which means first principles. It actually means first principles in a series of principles. So we're talking about the principles of the world. The church is full of the principles of the world. They're not growing into sonship because they don't think it's an opportunity. So they copy the world in everything they do. We're supposed to copy the Lord in everything. We're supposed to emulate the Lord in everything. But the church is full of the rudiments of the world. So they're children and servants. So we have to come out from among them and be separate in order to grow into that sonship. Verse 4. But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. We've already seen what the adoption of sons is. It's the manifestation of Christ in your soul. It's the word in your mind, your will, and your emotion. It is so we might receive adoption of sons and redemption from the law. Let's talk about the law for a moment. Law can be the Old Testament law. Sometimes it says the law. Sometimes the word the was added in there also. You can go back and look at an American English New Testament and you can find that out, because law is more than just the law. If you're under the rules and regulations of a religion, folks, and are under the rule of a man who is under the rules and regulations of a religion, then you're not free to walk after the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Romans 8:14. Those men are there to keep you in bondage to their religion. They don't make any money unless you do. They're there to keep you in bondage. They make all the rules and they make all the regulations to keep you from growing up in God. And they tell you how far you can go in your knowledge of the word. And they tell you when you can't believe that anymore because it all passed away. And because if you find out it's not passed away, then you're going to separate yourself from them, aren't you? So they lie to you to keep you in bondage. We want to grow into the adoption of sons. You have to be free from laws, laws that you put on yourself, laws that men put on you, law of the Old Testament that passed away. That's what the Bible says, real plain. We have to be broken from rules and regulations that tell us what we're going to do tomorrow, okay? Jesus said that the person who is born again is like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going. So is everybody that is born of the Spirit. And if you're going to be completely born of the Spirit, you have to be completely ruled by the Spirit. And the Spirit's going to tell you what to do in the next moment. So that's why he said to be careful when he said, if the Lord wills, we'll do this or we'll do that in James 4:15. Because if you're born again, you don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, do you? You're going to follow the Spirit tomorrow. Okay? So don't make rules for yourself. Don't pledge yourself into any bondage in the future. Always say this, if the Lord wills, we'll do that. And as you know, God can change that all the time. You might say you're going to do something and end up being a liar because the weather's bad. Who controls the weather, y'all? Or it could be this or it could be that. Who knows? The Lord is in control of everything. And he's the only one who can say what you're going to do tomorrow. So don't put yourself under laws, because then you're not going to obey the Spirit or listen to the Spirit when he wants to tell you to go in a different direction. No, I've made up my mind. I'm doing this. Well, you're ruled by the flesh in that case, because you're under the law. And he tells us 2 Corinthians 6:17, he says, come out from among them and be ye separate. Notice what he says in Galatians 4:6. And because ye are sons, remember what he just got through saying in Galatians 3:26, for ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. So we accept our sonship even before it's manifested. Everything that you want, you have to believe it first, right? That's faith. Jesus said, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them and you shall have them. So that's the manifestation. You shall have them. That's the shining forth. And if you continue to believe that you don't live anymore and that Christ lives in you, because that was, which was Paul's good confession in the sight of many witnesses, the Lord's going to empower you to bring it to pass. But we have to constantly war against that old lying devil, don't we? Because he's going to tempt you just like he tempted Jesus. Well, if you are the Son of God, what about this? Do this, do that. No, you don't have to prove anything to him. Jesus didn't worry about it either, did he? Because that devil is always going to tempt you to believe that you're not, when the Bible says just the opposite. It says you are. But when we look in the mirror, we know that's who we are. So when we accept that, we're beginning to walk in his steps, his grace and his power, his holiness, all his gifts. They're all ours, folks. And that's why we look in the mirror and see him and not us. And if you do look in the mirror and see yourself, it's because you're just a hearer of the word and not a doer. That's what James told us. Just remember that. Always look in the mirror and see Jesus. Look at that. There's Jesus in the mirror. I'm fixing to go out here, Jesus and me, and we're going out here and do his work. And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Well, what's that? That's the Spirit that brings us to adoption. So since you're believing that, you're receiving this Spirit that brings you to adoption, the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 7, so that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. Praise God. You're all sons through faith in Jesus Christ. And if a son, then an heir through God. We're joint heirs with Christ. Who are joint heirs with Christ? The sons are the joint heirs. Now, you could be a son by faith until you're a son by manifestation. That's when the baby's born, folks. That's when the fruit of Christ in you is seen by everybody out there in the world. Verse 8, howbeit at that time, not knowing God, ye were in bondage to them that by nature are no God. That's true. Many of God's people are. Verse 9, but now that ye have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how turn ye back again to the weak and beggarly rudiments, whereunto ye desire to be in bondage over again? Ye observe days. Well, Folks, that's talking about rules and regulations here. You're forming yourself into a mold so that you have to do what the world does. And months and seasons and years, verse 11, I am afraid for of you, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. In other words, his job is to bring us into sonship, to manifest Christ in us, not to put us under a bunch of rules and regulations. We're going to fulfill every jot, every tittle of the law if we walk after the Spirit. We will fulfill it. And when you see the word, it's not to make a law to put over your head. It's to show you what sonship is. It's to show you what you've been given by God. You're free, folks. Don't go back to the weak and beggarly rudiments of religion. You're free. And he says, lest by any means I have bestowed labor upon you in vain. In other words, that I've wasted my time. Verse 19, my little children, of whom I am again in travail until Christ be formed in you. Who is that? That's a son. In other words, until sonship be formed in you. Sonship, Jesus Christ. He is the son. Why are they called little children? Well, because now they're under all these rules and regulations of the world, aren't they? Which, by the way, were only in the meantime until the seed should come to whom the promises was due. Now the seed has come. That's Jesus Christ. And the only way we can have it is to abide in him. The law ain't here anymore, folks. It was only put in there until the seed came to whom the promises was due. He's our Isaac. That's Jesus Christ. They were little children because they lost their sonship by their rules and regulations and by following after men. Verse 20, but I could wish to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the handmaid, one by the free woman. Howbeit, the son by the handmaid is born after the flesh, but the son of the free woman is born through promise. You're believing the promise, okay? You're not keeping a bunch of rules and regulations in order to be holy enough to be acceptable. And when God's living in you, and he's empowering you when you read the word, you'll love to do that. You're looking for more that you can do to please the Lord. That's what he puts in you. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13. That's what salvation's all about, folks. It's a process. It's instant by spirit, but it's a process. Some people only see the instant part, and they don't know that it's only by faith that they have salvation. And that if they don't bear fruit, they're not going to manifest salvation. So it's real important to be in the process, walking by faith in the process, because you're sons of God through faith. As long as you walk in faith, you're a son of God, okay? If you walk after the works of the world and religion and the Old Testament, then you're separated from this gift of faith. That's why he said, little children, I am again in travail with you until Christ, that's the Son, be formed in you. So there's two sons here, one by the free woman, which is through promise, and by the handmaid, who is in bondage. Which things contain an allegory? For these women are two covenants, one from Mount Sinai, that's the law, folks, bearing children unto bondage. And there's a lot of Christian folks that are there. They've been Judaized, which is Hagar. You see what he's calling the law? If you're under the law now, it don't matter if it's the law of men, the law of religion, the law of rules you put on yourself, the law of following your mind. It don't make a bit of difference. It's the same thing. You're just a child of Hagar, an Ishmaelite. And verse 25 said, now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answers to the Jerusalem that now is. That's talking about the physical Jerusalem. That's not the holy city. Since Jesus was crucified, It ain't never been called the holy city except by men. In the Bible, there's a heavenly holy city that is being born from above. That's our mother. Not that Jerusalem over there. It's just full of all kinds of pagans, even those that are Jews and are under the law of Jews. They're still not born again. And it don't make any difference. You have to be born from above, the word said. For she is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, which is our mother. And you'll notice that the people under the law that came from Mount Sinai, they think they're under the Jerusalem that now is. They don't know that they have to be born again from above to be that heavenly Jerusalem, the daughter of Jerusalem, as she's called. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice thou barren that bears not, break forth and cry thou that travails not, for more are the children of the desolate than are of her that hath the husband. Hagar's got many children. Anybody that's under the law is born of the handmaid. And that's any kind of law, any separation from Christ. And he's about to say what separation from Christ is to be under the law. More are the children of the desolate than of her that hath the husband. In the natural, look at the parable over there. There's little Israel right in the middle of a bunch of Hagar. Sarah and Abraham's seed is right there in the middle of the whole bunch of them. Did they make a mistake? Unless those Muslim Arab people are born again, and if they are born again, they're just as good as anybody else is in the kingdom of God. Verse 28, now we, brethren, as Isaac was, not Ishmael, are children of the promise. He had the promise of the coming seed. And so what did he do? He went to Hagar to bring forth something other than the promised seed. It was the product of his work. He was sowing his own seed, wasn't he? In verse 29, but as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit. And if you'll notice, it was the Ishmaels that persecuted the Isaacs. Then it goes on and says, so also it is now. So they're both Abraham's seed, but one of them is the persecutor and the other one is not. Guess who that is? Now, they might not end up that way. They may repent and become children of the promise. But when they're persecutors, they're all Ishmaels, okay? Because you got to compare what he's saying here. It's the same thing he's doing. He's comparing this to Christians. He's telling the Christians who the Ishmaelites are and who the Isaacs are. Verse 30, howbeit, what says the scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son. For the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Now the Christians that are under the law ain't going to inherit with those that are following the Spirit of God. They just not going to inherit, folks. That's what the word says. Verse 31. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman. You got to be convinced of that enough that you give it up, okay? Galatians 5:1. For freedom did Christ set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. And that's exactly what a lot of Christians do. Even when you're first born again, you may decide to go check out the religion and see what bondage looks like. They did it in the scriptures too. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says, the things that have been are the things that shall be. Jesus called them out of those Judaistic denominations. And he's calling them out of the Christian denominations now. Listen, you're not to be bound to men. You got the word of God. Yeah, the Lord does have apostles. He has prophets. He has pastors, teachers, and evangelists that are anointed people. But you got to find out what they look like by studying the word so you can recognize them when you see them. Because other than that, you're going to go right back into bondage. People do that. They come out of one denomination, fall off into another one. He says, be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Verse 2, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will profit you nothing." What he's talking about here is seeking to be justified by obeying somebody's laws, even church law or rules and regulation or your own rules about what you think has to happen. Anything that keeps you from following the Spirit of God, which the Scriptures tells you is the very nature of the Spirit of God, it's the Spirit of God. You have to study the Scriptures in order to know what the Spirit of God is saying to you. Forget about everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, because we're running out of time, folks. Verse 3, "Yea, I testify again to every man that receives circumcision that he is a debtor to do the whole law." So if you seek to be justified by the Sabbath day, what about the Sabbath year? You going to do that? Oh, you're not? Well, you might as well forget it, because that's what he said. You got to do the whole law when you do it. So you're going to try to do just part of the law? The Sabbath in the New Testament, folks, is ceasing from your works continuously. It ain't some day that's out there. Verse 4, "You are severed from Christ, ye who would be justified by the law. Ye are fallen away from grace." You know, we have to repent. We have to turn to the Lord, okay? So we'll go back to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. "But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant." So you see, a child is a bondservant. "Though he is Lord of all." And in Galatians 4, 30 through 31. "Howbeit, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the handmaid and her son, for the son of the handmaid shall not inherit with the son of the free woman. Wherefore, brethren, we are not children of a handmaid, but of the free woman." So, the children that are bondservants, that are under the law, is not going to inherit with those that are under the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. So, if you look at, for instance, in John chapter 8, verse 34, "Jesus therefore said to those Jews that had believed them." Take notice of this. A lot of people think that all you have to do is believe him. Going on, "If you abide in my word, then are you truly my disciples." That word is athetes, a learner and a follower. So it ain't enough just to sit there and believe him. The devil believes him, but he's afraid of him, and he ain't born again either. 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So it's the truth that makes you free, right? And free is what a son is. That a servant's not free, right? A son is. They serve for different reasons than sons do. Servants. Sons serve their father for love, because it's their kingdom. They're joint heirs with Christ. Bond servants don't serve for that reason. They serve because they got to. They don't have a choice. And the son is free to come and go as he pleases, but the servant has to stay right there and he has to serve. And I don't mean as you please in the flesh. I'm talking about as you please in the Spirit. The Son is free. Praise God. 33. "They answered unto him, we are Abraham's seed and never yet been in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, everyone that commits sin is the bondservant of sin." Everyone that commits sin is the bondservant. He uses that same word, bondservant. Now, the children who are servants are still under sin. So you don't have to be a child under sin. You can, by faith, accept your sonship and then keep walking as a son. In other words, you can continue to walk by faith as you put to death that old man. And God's going to empower you to walk out of servanthood and into that sonship that he wants us in. 35. "And the bondservant abideth not in the house forever." There's the same thing that we just read over there. The son abideth forever. 36. "If therefore the son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." The son, glory be to God. So we want to be free, don't we? We want to be following the Spirit of God, because these are the sons of God, right? Can we prove that the servant doesn't abide in the house forever, but that the son abides forever? Well, yeah, because if you're keeping, for instance, a law, it's not the law of the New Testament, and you can't treat the New Testament like a law. But if you are treating the New Testament like a law, you're missing it. And if you are, for instance, under the Old Testament law, or the law of men in denominationalism, and if you made this man your Lord and you're following him instead of following the Spirit, you ain't never going to go beyond what he knows, right? Romans 6 and 16, his servants ye are whom ye obey. Luke 6 and 40, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So you have to make Jesus your master. And if this is true, that the servant or the child abides not in the house forever, but the son abides forever, then we can see it in the Old Testament, because every jot and tittle over there is going to be fulfilled in a more spiritual way. So let's look at Ezekiel 46 and 16. What do you see there? Thus saith the Lord God, if the prince, who's the prince? Well, in most cases it represented the high priest. Who's the high priest? Jesus is. Give a gift unto any of his sons. It is his inheritance. It's their inheritance. The sons are the ones who will inherit everything from the Father, not the servants. It's his inheritance. It shall belong to his sons. It's their possession by inheritance. The sons, not the children of the servants, get the inheritance. Verse 17. But if he give of his inheritance a gift to one of his servants, it shall be his to the year of liberty. There is, folks, a great year of liberty coming in which everybody is going to receive their new body, and they're going to have the freedom that we've wanted from the beginning, delivered from bondage, okay? Then it shall return to the prince. That have any parallel? Yep. But as for his inheritance, it shall be for his sons. In other words, he's going to take this temporary gift out of the hands of the child or the servant and give it over to his sons. Verse 18. Moreover, the prince shall not take of the people's inheritance, to thrust them out of their possession. He shall give inheritance to his sons out of his own possession. In other words, the sons are joint heirs with the high priest. Are the children the joint heirs? Only if they walk by faith. And then they're not children, they're sons, okay? Because you believe you have received, right? It's line upon line, here a little, there a little. Amen. That my people be not scattered, every man from his possession. Man, that is so cool there. So, can we find where God takes it away from the servant and gives it back to the son, or gives it to the son? Yeah, we can. Matthew 25, 28 through 30. Take ye away, therefore, the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. Well, there it is right there. He's taking it away. That's when the Lord left on his journey, and he left talents. He left 5, 2, and 1 to all of his servants. Then he went on his way, and he came back. He told him he's going to be back, and he's going to settle up when he born the fruit of 5, 2, and 1. And so he did. He came back later. He found that the 5 brought 5 more. And he called him a faithful servant. And he told him to enter into the joy of the Lord. And he gave him their reward. That was 10 talents, folks. And I believe that 10 talents is representative of the 100-fold fruit. He had given 2 talents to another, and they brought forth 2 more talents. And that's really all you could expect them to do, because it brought forth the fruit of what was put in. In the 10 talents, it was the same way. They were given 5, and they made 5 more. They brought forth the fruit of what was put in. You'll notice that everybody is not given the same amount. But I believe that the 100-fold is the 10 talents. Now, he said basically the same thing to the one with the 2 who brought forth two more. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, right? And he that received that one talent went and hid his in the earth. That's what a lot of folks do when they accept Jesus. They don't follow him, but they do their own thing. They don't buffet their flesh. They don't conquer their promised land. They don't continue in this sanctification of the word. They don't need to read the word. Their preacher knows everything. He's gone to Bible school. He got a certificate. So they just listen to the preacher on Sunday. And then they go on and do their own thing. That's hiding your talent in the earth, folks. You've given a talent that God's given unto you, and you're burying it under your flesh, which is what came from the earth. And so he said in verse 28, take ye away therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given. In other words, if a person has freed, he's going to be given more. If you'll notice, he took it away from the unprofitable servant and gave it to the son. By the way, you might keep it until the year of liberty. And I believe that's when the saints are called up to be with the Lord or resurrected to be with the Lord. And that's when you're going to find out. And he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not. That is, if he don't have no fruit. Even that which he hath shall be taken away. So if he don't have no fruit, it's going to be taken away, what he did give him, and give it to somebody else that has 10. And cast ye out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. It's the unprofitable servant. All of these are bond servants of the Lord. These are what we call Christians, okay? Matthew 25 and 14. For it is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And if you'll notice, it was his own servant. That ain't nobody but the Christian. It ain't the world. Many are called, but few are chosen, it says. Matthew 22 and 14 says that. Matthew 25 and 30 says, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. And they complained to him. They said, but he got 10, Lord. Right, that's right. He's going to have some more too. That's what Jesus said. The sons are going to have more. Praise be to God. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you next week, God willing.